This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Investigating Epstein's death. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, August 12. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The death of financier and accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein has led the FBI and Justice Department to throw additional resources into his apparent suicide.
Tragedy in western Pennsylvania as five children die during a fire at a daycare center.
The head of the Department of Homeland Security is speaking out about last week's immigration raids in Mississippi.
And the surprising things that can happen on camera during the growing number of video conference calls we're on these days.
Small children, lack of a dress code, pets, and it's not just the barking dogs. I talked to people who had monkeys, roosters, chickens. The list goes on and on, and it's actually quite terrifying.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinsig on video conference call embarrassments. She's here in about 20 minutes. As you may have heard, financier and accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein has been found dead in a New York jail cell, but his apparent suicide has led to the opening of an investigation. Mr. Epstein had been put on suicide watch July 23rd after he was found unconscious in his cell with marks on his neck, but reportedly taken off suicide watch late last month at the request of his attorneys. The Wall Street Journal says guards were supposed to check on him every 30 minutes, but that wasn't happening. Bruce Barkett is an attorney for Mr. Epstein's former cellmate.
What the guards do and what they're supposed to do are almost always two different things. So one has to wonder how it is that this man who just tried to take his own life by hanging himself a few weeks ago was in a position to successfully hang himself.
He spoke with ABC News. The New York City medical examiner performed an autopsy yesterday but said she needed more information before making a determination. A fire at a western Pennsylvania daycare center has killed five children, including four siblings. Four people were injured as well, including two teenagers who jumped from a second-floor window onto a porch of the home in the city of Erie, just north of Pittsburgh. Erie Fire Chief Guy Santone said they were trying to escape flames. He said the homeowner was among the injured, along with a neighbor who tried to enter the burning home to help.
There was heavy fire coming out all the windows on the first floor, and the reports were in that there were children trapped on the second floor.
Eight people were in the home when the fire broke out around 1:15 a.m. yesterday. The home also operated as a daycare. Mr. Santone said the children who died were between 8 months and 8 years old. Four of the victims were siblings who were being cared for at the daycare. CNN says their mother reportedly worked the night shift. The homeowner's child was also killed. The fire chief said there was only one smoke detector. He said if there were the proper amount, most, if not all, would have survived. The acting Homeland Security Secretary is speaking out about the immigration raids that led to the detention of nearly 700 workers at food processing plants in Mississippi last week. Kevin McAleenan was on ABC's Meet the Press, NBC's Meet the Press, which asked why no employers were charged.
We're in the middle of an ongoing investigation. You get a warrant from a federal judge with probable cause. You then go gather evidence at the sites, and then you look at the appropriate charges in concert with the Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney.
He says the long-planned raid received court approval before the operation that led to the arrests of 680 people. 300 were later released. He says employers are ignoring the law entirely, and that's why a judge issued a warrant. Mr. McAleenan also says the Department of Homeland Security regards the El Paso shooting as an attack on our community at the U.S.-Mexico border. Mark Morgan, acting commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, told CNN State of the Union, "We still have to apply consequences, meaning enforce the rule of law, for those individuals that are here illegally against immigration law." It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
all of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Glad you're with us, and welcome into Monday. After a mass shooting that left 22 people dead at one of its stores in El Paso, Texas, Walmart says it's not going to stop selling guns, though some gun control advocates are calling on it to do so, including presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. What's the world's largest retailer to do? A lot of other retailers are watching. More from Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Charisse, take us through this.
Yeah, you know, Walmart is actually considered a pretty good corporate actor when it comes to restrictions on gun sales. I mean, they've done a lot of things. They banned handgun sales back in the 90s. Last year, they raised the age to 21 for people to buy firearms. They don't sell assault-style rifles anymore. So they've actually taken a lot of steps. But given, you know, the crisis the country is in, these terrible mass shootings that we've been having, there are some people, including some of their employees, who feel that they need to do a lot more. And as the nation's biggest retailer and one of the biggest sellers of guns, some people are saying, you know, you can stop selling guns entirely, or you can use your leverage on other institutions like JPMorgan Chase or Apple to move the debate around gun control in a new direction.
All right. So is any of this realistic for Walmart? I mean, have they actually considered a total ban on selling weapons?
No. I mean, at the moment, they're definitely not saying that. They're saying that nothing has changed. The CEO had an Instagram post where he says that they're trying to be mindful of the community's feeling in this time and looking at the debate around guns, but definitely didn't make any indication or any commitment to changing their policy. And, you know, for the audience that shops at Walmart, you obviously have a lot of people who are gun enthusiasts and really kind of balk at their right to own a weapon being curtailed. And so I'm sure that they're weighing all of that because they're looking at the bottom line as well. So at this moment, there's no indication that they're going to change that policy and stop selling guns.
I can't prove it, but I'd imagine it's only a tiny fraction of gun owners who use them improperly if they're purchased from Walmart.
Well, Walmart is actually very good. They go beyond federal guidelines in terms of determining if you should be able to buy a gun in terms of their background checks. So they really do, again, have a lot of restrictions that even gun control advocates talk about. But they just feel that they obviously have a lot of influence on other institutions because they're such a big player, and that it would be a good thing for somebody that's this visible, that has such a big role in the culture, to be able to take a stand. It could be helpful in trying to get some progress and a new direction around gun ownership and the use of guns and the misuse of guns that we've seen recently.
We're speaking with Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. She's written a story entitled Walmart Not Banning Gun Sales in Wake of Mass Shooting, but some advocates say it should. So you referenced Walmart has taken some action before the banning of handgun sales in the 90s, putting the 21-year-old age restriction, certain rifles they don't sell anymore. Following that pattern, does it seem that Walmart will do something else in the wake of what happened in El Paso or Gilroy, California or Dayton?
Well, you know, you never know. I mean, Dick's Sporting Goods, they made a big decision to stop selling assault weapons, and They also raised the age for people to buy firearms in their stores after the Parkland tragedy. You've got other companies that have been taking different stances around what they feel is disturbing rhetoric and these massacres that have happened. So I think that there are a lot of people who feel that because the government, the federal government, has been so frozen in taking any kind of action on anything, that it really behooves the corporate community to step up and do something. And I think that people, you know, these businesses have to think about it and be responsive, because just as it can impact your bottom line if you do something in that direction, not doing something could also alienate some of your customers. And so I don't know if Walmart's actually going to take such a dramatic step and stop selling guns entirely, but there definitely is some heat on them. There's some pressure, and there are definitely people in the business community who feel that it's up to corporate players to take a stand on some of the issues that are dividing this, dividing and roiling this country.
Did you say, too, that gun sales are down?
Yes, they have gone down, and they tend to go down when there's a Republican in the White House. You know, they went up a lot when Barack Obama was president. There were some companies like that were anticipating that gun sales were going to really ratchet up because they thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, and I guess it's because people fear that their guns will be taken away when there's a Democrat in power, and so they rush out and they stock up on weapons or ammunition, and then, of course, the election went in a different direction, but the industry hasn't really recovered from that yet. And there's also just, you know, a retail slump. You know, retailers, brick and mortar stores are just struggling across the board, and gun sellers have not been immune from that.
Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word of the details of how Jeffrey Epstein died in jail have yet to be released, but officials have performed an autopsy on the high-profile inmate accused of sexually abusing underage girls and paying them hundreds of dollars in cash for massages. Epstein's abrupt death Saturday cut short a criminal prosecution that could have pulled back the curtain on the inner workings of a high-flying financier with connections to celebrities and presidents, though prosecutors vow to continue investigating. The apparent suicide of Epstein has brought new scrutiny to a chronically understaffed federal jail in New York. Bruce Barquette, attorney for Epstein's former cellmate, told ABC there was a lack of supervision.
You have clothing, you have bed linens. There are, if somebody wants to kill themselves in a cell, a regular cell, there's the means to do that.
The financier's death marks the latest black eye for the U.S. Bureau of Prisons following the fatal beating last year of Boston gangster James Whitey Bulger in federal custody. Authorities say a daycare center where children could stay overnight as their parents worked has been ravaged by a fire that killed five and sent the owner to the hospital. The Erie Fire Department says the victims ranged in ages from 8 months to 7 years. Michelle Fike lives nearby.
Firemen carried out them babies, and I just can't imagine that.
The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Hong Kong's airport authorities canceled more than 100 flights today as thousands of demonstrators crowded the city's airport to protest authorities for their handling of long-running protests. After the bloodiest night of clashes with police and 10 weekends of unrest, crowds filled the airport's departure and arrival halls today, expanding a smaller sit-in at the terminal that has run since Friday. The assembly has seriously disrupted flights. U.S. gymnastics champion Simone Biles won a record-tying sixth all-around title at the U.S. Gymnastics Championships in Kansas City, Missouri last night and became the first woman to land a triple-double during floor exercise competition in the process. The 22-year-old took the top scores on floor, vault, and balance beam and placed third on the bars. On Friday night, she became the first gymnast to attempt and land a double-twisting, double-somersault dismount off the high beam. And if you haven't seen the video of this morning, it is unbelievable.
I can't even really comprehend what she's done here just
by putting it.
I got to look at the video.
Oh, it's everywhere this morning. Just absolutely mind-boggling.
Like, who would even dream this up for another human being?
I don't know.
Hey, Simone, I got something for you. Want to try this?
Yeah, check out her floor exercise.
Since Simone says, yeah, hold my beer. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. With more and more workers operating out of home, those video conference calls can get awfully interesting with unexpected guests and your camera unknowingly turning on. More from this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
More of us are working remotely. That means we need to keep the unexpected guests, whether they're dogs or babies, out of our video conferences. Rachel Feinzig of the Wall Street Journal has taken a look at some of the strategies and joins us now. Rachel, what are some of the pitfalls of working from home?
Small children, lack of a dress code, pets, and it's not just the barking dog. I talked to people who had monkeys, roosters, chickens. The list goes on and on, and it's actually quite terrifying.
What has changed over the years between just talking on the phone with other folks and getting involved in video conferencing when you don't know you're being filmed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the rise of video conferencing has really like caused a lot of these problems to pop up. There's actually settings on some of these chats, like Zoom is a popular one that people use, where it just defaults to video. So I talked to a guy who had been kind of fiddling around with his chat settings, didn't really think anything of it, and went to start a meeting with someone at another company, and the person's video just turned on, and the person didn't know. So there's just a lot of things that can go wrong in this new kind of work-from-home era.
Yeah, I was a little surprised in your story to find that different systems are different, and you don't know that you're on camera. I find that hard to believe, but I guess it happens more often than we think.
Yeah, that was specifically with the Zoom setting, is what this source told me. I myself am too terrified to do a video chat from now, once I started reporting the story, until probably forever. So I can't personally attest.
Rachel, what are some of the stories that you found in talking to people?
The shirtless man. So that was a video setting one. I love the story of a guy who was taking a call at 4 a.m. his time with a group of bankers in London. They were all kind of gathered around this gleaming conference room table. And he was in his tidy whitey in bed and, again, didn't know the video was on. His colleague started calling him, and he was thinking, like, who's calling me at 4 in the morning? It took him about 5 minutes to realize that it was because he was not wearing any clothes on this video chat. Other stories include, like I mentioned, a monkey interrupting a chat in South Africa, a rogue rooster on a video call. No one could figure out who it was coming from because there were about 50 people on that call, and it just kept punctuating everyone's dialogue with cock-a-doodle-doos.
How do people who get caught up in these things get over it when they are with their coworkers?
I talked to a reputation expert. He didn't end up making it into the story, but he suggested just kind of addressing it head-on, apologizing, and moving forward. Unfortunately, that's not always what people do. I talked to people who just kind of said nothing and pretended like it didn't happen, which I think probably just makes things more awkward for everyone.
This morning's Jennifer Koshenko with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobes. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? Well, this is not the most invigorating shopping experience, right? You just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're kind of playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is going to give you right now 20% off your first order. Go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code Gordon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you'll ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mack Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep them. Get a refund. No questions asked. Mack Weldon giving you 20% off right now on your first order. Go to MackWeldon.com right now and enter the promo code Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us and welcome into Monday, August 12. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenko. Some of our top stories and headlines. Investigation into Jeffrey Epstein's apparent suicide. 5 children dead from a fire at a daycare center. The Pittsburgh Steelers canceled workouts yesterday and today after wide receivers coach Daryl Drake died suddenly at age 62. Flight cancellations in Hong Kong today as protesters fill the airport there. Popeyes, Wendy's, and Chick-fil-A among the fast food restaurants introducing new menu items today. And why yesterday's date is now so emotionally significant for one golfer. That story in about 20 minutes.
Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Uber is taking part in a growing experiment. As the company seeks new growth, it has teamed up with cities and transit agencies in the U.S., Canada, Britain, and Australia to provide tickets to transport people with disabilities or sometimes to substitute for a town's public transportation system entirely. Lyft is engaged in a similar strategy. More from Kate Conger, technology reporter at the New York Times. Kate, what's happening in Denver with Uber selling mass transit tickets?
At this point, they're not making money off of the ticket sales in Denver. So what they're doing is they are selling the tickets through their app. And then they're working with a ticketing partner called Mesabi, who takes a cut that's a little over 2%, I think. But Uber themselves are not making money off of the partnership. Their idea is that you'll open up their app, you'll take public transit somewhere, and then you'll need to get from the train station to your destination, and then you'll just grab an Uber because you're already in the app.
And you pointed out, too, in the story that some of the cities that Uber has struck deals with are not happy because Uber's not terrific at sharing data that it collects?
Right. So the data sharing and data collection are kind of a point of contention between Uber and the cities. You know, Uber really sees that data as very private. They don't want to share it. And the cities want that information. You know, they want to know where people are traveling in the city. They want to know when their peak ridership times are, and it helps them plan, you know, bus routes. It's also how they receive federal funding. They need to say, oh, we have so many riders, so we need X amount of money. They're letting Uber do their ticketing, right? And then they don't know that they had those 20 riders that day. That kind of affects their ability to grant.
So what do you see on the Uber app when you open it if you're in a city that has some sort of partnership?
It depends. So in the case of Denver, where they're doing a ticketing partnership, you would open up the app and you would see, you know, the normal options you would have for, you know, Uber Pool, Uber X, and then you would see a transit option with the price of whatever the transit ticket would be.
We're speaking with Kate Conger at the New York Times. She reports about technology. Her piece is called Uber Wants to Sell You Train Tickets and Be Your Bus Service Too. What other types of things are happening here with some of these different cities?
So some of the other cities are doing these interesting things where they're trying to replace public transit or supplement public transit with Uber and Lyft. So the example I mentioned earlier where, you know, in more rural areas where it would be very costly for them to run a bus route, they're just saying, you know, let's partner with Uber instead. Let's give them a certain amount of money to subsidize the rides. And then instead of having a bus, the people that live in our town could just call an Uber, and it'll be a little bit cheaper than it otherwise would be because we're subsidizing it.
Uber seems to be striking a lot of agreements with cities, and yet they still don't make any money. The cities are comfortable with this?
I think that's kind of a point of contention for some cities as well. You know, they look at the business model and realize, you know, Uber isn't profitable. It's not close to becoming profitable. And what if this partner disappears in 5 to 10 years? Some cities, you know, I think are kind of trying to limit the partnerships a little bit to hedge their bets. And other cities think, you know, if it's not Uber, it's going to be someone else. The ride-hailing model is here to stay. And even if this partner, you know, goes out of business, there will be someone else to step in and take their place.
It was interesting, too, because you pointed out that some cities are concerned that Uber and Lyft might actually increase congestion. How does that work?
Right. So with Uber and Lyft and with the taxi industry as well, there's a lot of time where a driver is just driving around with an empty vehicle looking for a fare. They're just kind of circling, waiting for someone to call for a ride. And that's a big problem when it comes to congestion because you just have these vehicles on the road, aren't really going anywhere, that are just waiting and taking up space. And so Uber and Lyft had commissioned a study to see how much congestion they were contributing to and found that, you know, they're still very far behind private car ownership, but in certain major cities, they are creating, you know, a sizable chunk of congestion for the city.
Either one of those companies done the biggest deal yet worth bragging about? I think you said Lyft has an agreement in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Lyft has one in L.A., and I think in total, Lyft has about 50 different transit partnerships, and I think Uber is around 20 or 22. So Lyft is maybe ahead in terms of total number of partnerships. It's a little hard to measure the scale, right? Because you know, some of them are in very large cities, some of them are in very small cities, and it's a little bit hard to tell. Some of them are both in the same city. I think Uber and Lyft both have partnerships in Boston. So, you know, it's a little bit hard to stack them up against each other and say which one is ahead.
Thanks, Kate. Kate Conger, technology reporter at the New York Times. Meanwhile, Uber on Friday posted its largest ever quarterly loss of $5.2 billion, but $3.9 billion of that came from employees cashing in after the company's IPO in May. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, criminals, Gordon, they're people with feelings too. At least that's what one police department in the UK wants to remind citizens who have taken to making fun of a fugitive's hairline. The Gwent PD in South Wales posted to Facebook recently to appeal for information about a 21-year-old man who had violated his parole after being released from prison in December. The department posted the man's mugshot, and instead of receiving helpful information, what they got was thousands of posts mocking the man's hairline, which is receding and oddly styled. In fact, the post has received over 87,000 comments since Wednesday.
My goodness.
Many of them joking about the man's hair. For example, some joke that the fugitive's hairline is on the run too. Others quipped that the police were combing the area looking for the fugitive. And one person joked that his hairline, quote, goes back further than my family tree.
Wow.
All the mockery forced the department to post their own reply, reminding users that harassing, threatening, and abusing people on social media can be against the law, and that you could be investigated by police.
Oh, come on. Gwent PD, relax.
Yeah, it didn't seem to stop people from continuing on. They didn't feel very threatened by that.
You're entitled to your opinion, I suppose, in
yes.
this case, on social media.
Yes.
Even if it may be tasteless in some cases.
Funny enough that even, you know, because of this guy's, you know, again, kind of odd hairstyle, it doesn't seem like he's been found yet. Like, nobody's been able to spot him. So, 87,000 people commenting. You would think they would easily be spotted on the street, but it doesn't seem to have happened.
That's
yet.
Right. So 87,000 people at least have looked at this photo.
Yes.
But he hasn't been found yet.
Right. Somehow. So, you know, good for him for being able to lay low, I guess.
It is odd. It's kind of receded almost to the middle part of his hair, and then he's got like a couple of tufts to either side of the middle part of his head. It almost looked like horns.
Yeah.
Remind
me of the boss from the Dilbert cartoons.
Yes, very good.
Who are trying to picture what this looks like.
Good call.
And whether or not you're a fan of the 2019 Song of the Summer, it's causing some problems in one Massachusetts town. According to local news reports, Wellesley officials are dealing with an influx of people stealing the town street sign for Old Town Road. This is no doubt in response to the popularity of the song Old Town Road by Lil Nas X, which has been breaking records for its continued popularity this summer, recently becoming the longest U.S. number one hit of all time. The sign for Old Town Road, which is only 510 feet in length, has been swiped at least three times since the spring, costing the town a lot of money to replace. As a result, town officials have decided not to replace the sign again until the hype around the song finally dies down.
Wow.
Which could be in like 2021.
Jeez.
But it doesn't seem like it's slowing down anytime soon.
Longest U.S. number one hit of all time.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable. You never know, Gordon.
Jeez. I ought to electrify that sign, maybe. Maybe that would stop people from touching it. Huh?
There you go.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for being with us. Do you have itchy feet? If so, you're not alone. About one-third of U.S. employees say they plan to get a new job this year, according to a recent study carried out by the Harris Poll, commissioned by the employment website CareerBuilder. About 29% say they regularly search for new jobs while they're employed, and 78% say they're open to trying something new if the opportunity arises. MarketWatch says it's supported by previous research that suggests job hopping is on the rise, especially among young workers. 54% of workers favor switching to a new company
after less than 2 years in a job, according to Robert Half, the HR consulting firm. That's up a whopping 22% from 4 years earlier. Among those surveyed by Robert Half, employees under the age of 34 were most likely to see job hopping as beneficial to their careers. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the death of Jeffrey Epstein in a federal jail is sparking an investigation into the apparent suicide of the financier accused of sexual abuse and raises the pressure to prosecute his associates in his absence. Epstein died Saturday in the Manhattan detention facility, a shocking twist in a lurid saga of wealth, power, and alleged sex trafficking of minors that stretched from Wall Street to the White House. The Wall Street Journal says Epstein was taken off suicide watch late last month at the request of his attorneys, but guards were supposed to check on him every 30 minutes, and he was supposed to have a cellmate. In the hours leading up to his death, it appears he had no cellmate and wasn't receiving the required check. Authorities are considering seeking the death penalty in the case of Curtis Johnson, an escaped convict captured by law enforcement yesterday in Tennessee after 5 days on the run. Watson was captured without incident. This resident in Henning called authorities after seeing Johnson on his doorbell camera taking drinks out of his outdoor refrigerator.
We were awakened about 3:30 this morning by the alarm on the Ring doorbell, saying that someone was in our backyard.
Johnson has been charged with the homicide of Correctional Administrator Deborah Johnson. A man charged with killing 11 worshipers at a Pittsburgh synagogue last year has a court hearing today. Authorities say Robert Bowers opened fire with an AR-15 rifle and other weapons during worship services inside Tree of Life Synagogue, killing 8 men and 3 women before police shot and wounded him. It was the deadliest attack on Jews in U.S. history. Bowers has pleaded not guilty to hate crimes and other offenses. A Pennsylvania Superior Court panel today is set to hear Bill Cosby's appeal in what became the first celebrity trial of the Me Too era. Cosby's lawyers are fighting the judge's decision to let 5 other accusers testify at last year's trial. They say prosecutors used them to promote hysteria. Audiences have helped the Fast and Furious spinoff Hobbs and Shaw take another lap at number one. Even with an onslaught of new movies this weekend, Universal Pictures says Hobbs and Shaw added another $25.4 million, bringing its domestic total to $108.5 million. Second place went to Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Close behind in third was The Lion King.
If it was nasty out this weekend, maybe those numbers would have been higher.
It was beautiful
here. But here in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, yep. You and I were just saying, it's really nice. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Yesterday's date may mean nothing to you, but it will have significance going forward for at least one family. Sunday, August 11, that's a date pro golfer Scott Harrington and his wife Jen will never forget, because yesterday the two celebrated a huge moment that meant so much more to them, considering everything they've been through the past few years. Harrington earned his PGA Tour card by finishing in the top 25 of the Korn Ferry Tour money list. At 38, it's the first time he's achieved his dream of playing on the biggest tour in all of golf, and it comes a year after he put his career on hold to care for his wife, who was battling cancer. Now Jen's cancer is in remission, and her husband's dream has come true, which he accomplished in dramatic fashion down the stretch yesterday, before making things official with a tap-in birdie on the 18th hole at the Winco Foods Portland Open. The Korn Ferry Tour Twitter account wrote that Jen flew in Saturday night and got to hug Scotty on hole 18 as he now heads to the PGA Tour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.